Hi, it's Ethan Hayter, and you're listening to Quick Link Podcast.
Hello, and welcome back to Quick Link Podcast. It's nice to be back in your ears after a 2-week break. I've been working away from home over the last fortnight, and the 2 weekends I did have free were both spent at races, all of which you'll hear from later in this episode. Coming up on Friday, we've got an interview with Paralympic gold medalist Ben Watson, and we'll publish our Waffle Awards show on Christmas Eve, with the normal Monday racing and Wednesday news roundups in between. We'll be back to 3 episodes a week until the road season kicks off again in the new year, but we might do race day shows for the rest of the cross season, as they do pack those races in over the next month or so. Happy birthday today to friend of the show and 1989 individual pursuit world champion Colin Sturgis, currently DS with Ribble Weltite, who seemingly don't want to become friend of the show, hashtag blocked. We'll start by taking a look at the most recent confirmed transfers since our last show. As there's a fair bit to cram in today, we'll give them a more in-depth look in our season previews coming in the new year. Dylan Groenewegen departs Jumbo-Visma after 6 years and 54 wins. He's heading to Bike Exchange on a 3-year contract. Mark Padoon, winner of 2 stages of this year's Dauphiné, leaves Bahrain victorious for EF as the American team really shake up their roster for 2022 and beyond. Esteban Chavez, Owen Doull, James Shaw and Odd Christian Eiking, among those also set to wear pink next year. Thijs Benoot, 7th at Liège-Bastogne-Liège, he joins Jumbo-Visma as yet another rider, departing the DSM stable early. Serratizit WNT have confirmed 6 new arrivals, among them Hannah Nilsson from Lotto Soudal and Sandra Alonso from Bizkaia Durango. On a domestic level, Sampiren have brought in Charles Page from Ribble, Will Bjørgfelt from Swift Carbon, and in quite the coup, Gabs Kalle from Movistar. Canyon DHB Sun God will apparently be called Daikin Sun God next year, though there's nothing officially confirmed yet as at time recording, and there's no news what frames Tim Elveson's lads will be riding. Refreshingly, a number of Delco, Quebecca and SEG riders have found teams for 2022 after the dissolution of those 3 setups. Quebecca's World Tour licence application was refused by the UCI for next year amid a financial nightmare at the South African team after mysterious cryptocurrency firm NextHash failed to pony up their fake Elon Musk bro tech dollars. New kits are starting to be revealed by the top tier teams, Trek going with much of the same as our DSM and Astana, Ineos changing things around a little, I quite like it but it's quite split the quick link vote, Movistar have gone for pure Sky 2017 vibes, Drone, Hopper and Droney have the usual 42 sponsors, and closer to home Techers have splashed some paint around like Jackson Pollock, scanned it in, sent it to Rafa, and it's come out looking absolutely badass. It sold out in about 20 minutes. Cyclocross results, Wout van Aert won on his return to cross at Super Prestige Boom on the 4th. He won solo by 1 minute 40 from Tounet with Lars van der Haar a close 3rd. Lucinda Brand continuing her fine run, winning ahead of Inge van der Heijden and Denise Spetsma in yet another all-Dutch elite women's podium. The World Cup round in Antwerp was cancelled on the 5th, unfortunately, so skipping to last weekend, van Aert made it 2 from 2 at Etias Cross in Essen, again solo by about a gap of 140. T-Sert was second this time, with under-23 world champion Pim Ronhar in third. In the women's race, an excellent win and first at elite level for Zoe Backstead, one of our British Riders of the Year. Laura Verdonschup, runner-up, and a second Brit in Anna Kay, taking third to round out the podium. Then van Aert made it a perfect hat-trick with victory the following day in the snow at Val di Sole in northern Italy for the 9th UCI World Cup round of the season. Michael van Torenhout second and Tom Pidcock back on a podium in third in just his second cyclocross race of this season after he took 7th at Boom. In the elite women's race at Val di Sole, Femme van Empel took it for her first win of the season in a close-fought battle with Marianne Vos. Magli Rochette was third. Elie Izabeet continues to lead the men's World Cup standings. He's on 307 points. Tounet is on 206. Lucinda Brand leads the women, though that is closer. She's on 252. Denise Betzema's on 244. Domestically, we had UCI action here in the UK at Clanfield Cross, just 15 miles from Castle Quicklink. Cameron Mason solo to a win ahead of fellow Scot Rory Maguire. Joe Blackmore taking third. 15 of the top 20 riders were aged 21 or under. Another Scot, Corran Carrick-Anderson, was in fourth. Josie Nelson took the win for Spectral Wiggle, who had 3 riders in the top 4 in the elite women's race. Second went the way of Millie Cousins of Krell and IKO, before Amira Meller beat her Spectra teammate Zan Kreese to third. And the following day at the National Trophy in Gravesend, the round 5 winners were Cameron Mason, Millie Cousins, Nathan Smith and Emily Carrick-Anderson. Corran Carrick-Anderson leads the elite and under 23 men's standings, with Rory Maguire second in both. Amira Meller leads elite women's standings ahead of Anna Flynn, who leads the under-23 classification. Nathan Smith and Ella McLean Howell are the junior leaders with just one round to go. That's on January the 16th at Broughton Hall in Skipton. The next international cyclocross action comes this weekend with the World Cup doubleheader of Rukven on Saturday and Namur on Sunday. Looking ahead to next year, British Cycling have announced the dates for the Elite Road Series. 8 rounds for the women, 7 for the men. Both have Lincoln, Stockton, Lancaster, the Manx International Race, Tour of the Reservoir, Rydale and the Beaumont / Curlew Cup in that order, while the Women's Series also includes the Seacole Classic in between rounds 1 and 2. The National Circuit Series of Yorkshire dates are also out. It's Otley, Ilkley and Barnsley, with the men also racing Sheffield and Colne. That's actually in Lancashire. And a venue to be confirmed, but quoted as Midlands, will round out the series, which takes place between the 29th of June and the 29th of July. The junior and youth calendars are also out. Plenty of action across the country for the young'uns, and they will be taking their best 8 of 10 rounds. But in a move that has raised some eyebrows, the women's junior series will also be open to under 23 riders. Junior nationals are in Yorkshire, because of course they are, at the end of May. Finally, to the UCI Track Champions League. After the cancellation of round 5 in Tel Aviv, Israel, London had the honour of hosting the final 2 rounds on a Friday-Saturday doubleheader in the event's inaugural year, being held over the 3rd and 4th of December. 4 sets of 18 riders taking part in men and women's endurance and sprint leagues. Check previous shows for how rounds 1 and 2 went. Sprint and Kieran for the sprinters, Devil and Scratch for the endurance riders. Highlights are available on GCN and they are well worth a watch, even if you just watch the last hour or so of day 4. After 6 hours of action at Lee Valley Valley Park, Emma Hinds and Katie Archibald were your women's champions, the latter receiving a rapturous reception every time she took to the track. Gavin Hoover took advantage of Sebastian Mora's relegation to take the men's endurance title, while Harry Lavrason was dominant from round 1, as were Hinds and Archibald, to take the men's sprint crown. We were the first people in the world to talk to Harry Lavrason after he crossed the line, confirming he had won the men's sprint league. Here's me chatting to Harry.
So we're in the middle of the velodrome now with Harry Lavrason, who we've worked out has just confirmed his win as the UCI Track Champions League sprint winner.
Yeah.
How's that feel?
Pretty good. I was just in a last sprint heat, first qualification, and I was calculating it a bit, and I thought, if I make this, I will be the champion. And if I fuck it up, I'm second. So I think it was my most nervous race from the World League. But it went well, went through, so I got it.
Yeah, it's been a stellar year for you, hasn't it, so far?
Yeah, for sure.
Did this round it off nicely, or is there more to come for you before New Year's?
No, this it. Maybe I have nationals after Christmas, but after this, I have holiday.
Yeah. Going over nice?
Sorry?
Going anywhere nice, or is it going to be...
I don't know yet.
Yeah,
it's Corona, I don't think so.
Oh, shit, yeah, of course.
But I probably won't be on the bike.
No, of course, yeah. Like you are right now. So yeah. Can't you go around and be cool, or...
Yeah,
Where's
yeah.
your watts? Oh, casual 51 watts.
Yeah,
that's about my FTP.
Let's put it in gear 1, that's better. I'll do it 20.
Well, as the first person in the world ever, congratulations on your win tonight.
Yes, thank you.
And obviously, out there for a point afterwards.
Yeah.
All the best, mate. Thank you.
After what seemed a relatively subdued Friday night in the velodrome, Saturday was electric with everybody who's everybody in the middle. I got to chat to Brian Facer, the CEO of British Cycling, about bringing the event to the UK and what's ahead for next year.
I was here last night, absolutely. Yeah.
You can feel there's a little bit more electric and static, and I think it's because people have rushed over work on a Friday night, they've covered on Saturday night,
it's
probably a bit more lubricated.
Well,
the only problem was empty was one of them. Everything else was a lot more fun, but I think there was a little bit of COVID concerns on a Friday, traffic and all those sort of things it's a good atmosphere tonight.
Yeah, very much so.
So obviously, I was talking to Stephen Park earlier. He said this is not going to give us any Olympic golds, but it's raising the profile of track cycling in the UK so much. What do you think this is bringing to BC and British cycling?
I think it's like any event and any sport that needs this pinnacle, this thing to get to the top of. And really, this is bringing that inspiration to participation. So if this is the top end of what we need to do outside of the Olympics, then ultimately what you've got is children in this audience today, different family members. And actually, why wouldn't you want to ride in this, which has been really heavily televised? You know, it's dynamic, it's fluid, it's got all these dynamic bits that you want to get from it as well. So for me, it brings that extra level to it as well.
Yes.
It kind of makes it family friendly and easy to understand as well.
Absolutely. And there doesn't seem to be any teething problems, but it's all quite straightforward and smart and smooth, and it's worked out really well.
Yeah, look, I think Discovery and the teams that have kind of pulled this together have worked really hard over a period of time to actually get to this point as well. So, you know, and it's evolving as it goes along now. This is a long-term partnership with UCI and Discovery, and I actually think it will get better and better and better as time goes by. And look, it's just really exciting to be involved in this, certainly from a British cycling point of view as well.
And I guess we benefit that, obviously, you don't want the next round to have been cancelled in Tel Aviv and whatever new week's time, but it's a massive boost for us that it's all decided here tonight on the Saturday.
Yeah, it definitely is, and you really want it to be over six rounds tonight. I think bringing it to Tel Aviv and Israel would have been really important, but look, we can't change the circumstances that we're in and the world that we're in at the moment, so we're just really proud that we can host the finals here and the grand finals. So it's just really exciting, again, for the people that have invested in time to come here, the people that are delivering it, the people that are watching it and supporting it, and the athletes themselves as well. You can feel the atmosphere as we're in it tonight as well.
It's definitely
electric.
Buzzing.
There's a buzz to it. So.
Yeah, I had a walk. Good walk around the concourse earlier. There's a definite vibe. Yesterday was probably about 80%. Today, you can just feel as soon as a British rider gets on the track, when Joshy Charlton had a little dig, any time Kate Yarkbaugh's name's mentioned, the place just lifts. Ed Fancy, obviously.
I think you can hear the roof is then literally raised. But yes. Do you know what's really impressed me as well? There's been rounds where there's not a British interest, but actually the crowd have really cheered hard for the people in there as well. So
of course,
what
yeah.
it shows me is it's about the sport as well as the nation as well. And actually that's what gives me faith that this going through six rounds is going to be really important for the sport itself and actually to bring it. I think the really important thing for me to also to kind of find is how do we kind of bridge the gap between grassroots track cycling and this? How do we make sure that when you're a young teenager doing your first track racing, how do you find your way to actually riding in this event as well? And I think that's really important for us to find that pathway.
Yeah.
And I think we can find that really easily.
Yeah, I think so. Locally, you've also got Herne Hill, which is where I grew up, and it's got Lee Valley right outside here. Outside of like the peripheries, not so much. But yeah, I think it seems that BC are really making a big effort to spread it wider and kind of hit those other parts of the region.
We want those people on those tracks on Herne Hill to think that they, you know, and to know they've got a chance and the ability to actually be riding in the circuit here today. This crowd, this viewing figures, of the online presence of this format. I mean, it's such an exciting thing to do. And if it can inspire you to do it, then I don't know what will.
We'll end it there. Brian, thank you very much indeed.
My pleasure.
Cheers, Brian. Thank you.
They often say never meet your heroes, but one of mine I did have the pleasure of meeting and absolutely loving every minute of it, Sir Chris Hoy. We had a brief chat.
So, obviously, in the middle of the drone with yourself. How is this going? The new format for the track?
I think it's been really well received, both by the crowds and the fans at home and the riders. The riders are worked hard, particularly if they're making the finals in the Kieran and the sprint. It's a short recovery and lots of races, and the same for the endurance guys. But yeah, I think this is a start of, you know, it's only going to get bigger and better, and I think they've done a cracking job so far.
Absolutely. It seems to be no teething problems with it at all, just tweak it a little bit.
It's been a massive logistical challenge, and yet, as you say, it seems to have been relatively, apart from having to deal with the pandemic and things out of the control, it's been seamless, and I think they've done a really good job. It looks great on TV, and it looks great here too.
Do you fancy a go next time around?
I would love to have been involved in this sort of championship, because it's going to help raise the profile of the sport, it's going to help raise the profile of the athletes. They're going to be able to race more regularly, you know, against the same riders. Normally the best riders in the world only get together at the Olympics and the World Championships. World Cups, some do certain rounds and don't do others, but this is the only chance you get, so yes, really good.
Yeah. So coming to next year, they're probably going to go add more rounds at all. I was chatting to Stephen Park earlier and he said it's not going to give us a gold medalist out of this, but raising the profile for the younger generation.
I disagree. I think you've got to look at it from a racer's perspective, and every single race, you can already see riders learning, so the three-up sprints are quite rare. You only get them if you're in a repechage normally. So the top boys aren't used to racing in three-ups. And in the first round of Mallorca, you could see a bit rusty in some of the tactical choices, whereas they're getting better and better at it. And I disagree. I think this will be an amazing opportunity if a rider can just get into the top 18 in the world, you know, a young, talented rider, and this is their chance to raise their profile, as he said, but also to gain experience. And it's lots of racing, lots of opportunities. There's not so much on the line. You don't worry so much if you lose a race. You're better to try and win a race.
Yeah.
With all out tactics, and it doesn't come off, or, you know, once
absolutely.
In a blue will. So it's, yeah, I think because of the nature of it being a league, you've got more chance of people trying different tactics, and it's exciting and it's great for the riders.
Thank you. Cheers.
And at the end of a very tired and emotional weekend, I popped my head into the GP bunker and sat down with Rhys Britton, Josh Cholton and Will Tidball to ask them a few questions over a couple of cans of beer about how their weekend went.
How's your weekend gone?
It's been alright, it's been a great experience.
More than anything, that's what I've taken from it most, just being here, soaking up the atmosphere, getting some experience along the way. It's been profitable.
That's good, right? Yeah. Good shout of self, had a good dig earlier in the...
yeah.
What was going through your mind when you had that? Or was it just have a dig?
Head down, full gas.
Yeah.
Just had to commit, I had the gap. That was gonna be my move for the race. And I decided to give everything I got, see if it worked out.
It nearly stuck, so...
It got quite deep, and then they came past me, and then I'm happy I tried something. I didn't just roll under the hood for no reason.
Don't just turn up to wear the kit, do you?
No, give
some beads.
Absolutely.
Will, how are you feeling?
Good.
Good weekend?
Yeah, yesterday wasn't as good as today. Happy to improve on some mistakes I made yesterday, but yeah, no, it's been great to race for the home crowd, really enjoyed
it.
Yeah, I think it's nice to have sort of like a modern cycling experience. It's been very good.
Yeah, it's nice, it's like nice condensed little.
I think it's definitely,
hours and
it's definitely a crowd pleaser.
Yeah,
I think it'd be nice if there was more endurance races, but.
I'm not sure a 200 lapper translates to TV that well.
Sometimes
does it,
people don't understand it as well. That's the hard thing. It's definitely
one
for the crowd.
Shows up well. Thank you.
Here we go. The UCI Track Champions League rounds 3 and 4 from Lee Valley Velo Park in London. We'll be back on Friday with our interview show with Ben Watson. That's being hosted by Anna. We'll see you then. Until then, ride safe and take care now. You've been listening to QuickLink Podcast, your daily microdose of pro cycling news and results. You can find us across social media at QuickLink Pod, or you can contact us by emailing show@quicklinksports.com. You can support this show by using the code QuickLink when you shop with veloskin.cc for all your chamois cream and skincare needs, and also at efswheels.com, where UK customers can get themselves a full set of tubeless ready, full carbon wheels for under £500. Share the show, and we'll be back with you tomorrow. Bye now.